start and go over some things for class. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And definitely thank you for your grace. Father, we thank you for sending your only begotten Son that would pay the price and finish the work that are allowing us to be in this class setting, allowing us to receive such impartation from our apostle as you placed on his life. Thank you for every person that is family, that is represented here, and those that are watching by internet and Roku. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor. May your word be open to us in a special way tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Next week we have exams. They were supposed to be last week, but because of the holidays and because of the weather and stuff, I want to get some more teaching in and class settings in. So our exams will be next week. In this particular class, the Lives of Honorable Men, our exam will be on Chapter 9 and Chapter 10. Of course, you know I usually do open book tests. Depending on how far I get tonight, if I don't get too far in Chapter 10, that's where we start. If I don't get too far, then I can promise you your exam will be heavily weighted in Chapter 10. Because I'm not sure if I get a chance to get back there, but this is a very important chapter. And so we'll be going over the covenant. So be sure if your instructor forgets to mention it, y'all remind them and ask what the exam is going to be on. Some of them may remember, some may forget. But ask them to remind you what the exam is going to be on. That's going to trigger their memory to let you know what it is and what the exam is going to be on. Yeah, open book. Yeah, this will be an open book exam. So, and like I said, it's going to be heavily, if I don't cover too much tonight in Chapter 10, it's going to be heavily weighted in Chapter 10. Because it's a lot of information in Chapter 10 that we need to understand, and I will be covering it, all right? If you will return with me to Chapter 10, and we're going to be going. I mean, this chapter is so important that I'm not going to stray away from this chapter or too much the author said, because the part of this chapter is the purpose of covenant. This is a very important chapter because all the times we have been learning about covenant, now we get to talk about the purpose of why we've been learning about covenant the way we have. Why is it important for us to understand we must have the spirit of sacrifice? Why is it important that we must not have our own agenda? Why is it important that we must understand that covenant means to cover somebody else's weaknesses and to let our strengths cover their weaknesses and let their strengths cover our weaknesses? Tonight, we're going to cover it, and we're going to see why we learn those things and why it's important. This is a very important statement that I'm going to start off with. It is established within a relationship. Covenant is established, the purpose of covenant is established within a relationship built upon God's agape love of sacrifice, honor, and integrity. Alright? So covenant is established on those things. It's a relationship that is built upon God's agape love, sacrifice, honor, and integrity. Now, Jesus, the first thing we're going to go to is very important. Very important. Go with me to John, the 13th chapter. Now, Jesus gave a command here that is the most basic of commands and most powerful of commands that we ought to receive in covenant. And the author points out a very good point. He only gave this most important commandment after he had challenged Judas to leave the room. It's in the upper room. Jesus is getting ready to talk to the disciples and get ready to have the last supper. Or their last time communing together, having communion together, or communing together before Jesus finished the work, which is on the cross. And he knew Judas was going to betray him. And he said, Judas, go ahead and do what you're going to do quickly. So he left the room, which Jesus gave him a reason to get out of the room before he gave this final and most important commandment. Because this commandment is very important to have you follow. It has to be walked in. And he didn't want anybody who was not planning on going further with him to get a hold of this commandment. Because this particular commandment unleashes all the power of God, all the potential that God has placed in you. This particular scripture about to read and the commandment you can give, it releases all the power you need to release all potential that you have on inside of you. All right? John, the 13th chapter, and the 31st verse. Therefore, when he had gone out, meaning Judas, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. You see that? Now, watch this, I think it's in verse 34, 35. He said, new commandment I give to you. That you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that ye are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How, Jesus said, we're going to be determined, how are people going to realize that we're his disciples? By loving each other. This is the commandment that Jesus gave after Judas left the room. Why is it important that Judas left the room? Judas wasn't planning on doing nothing, no way. He was in it for himself. So Jesus said, I'm not wasting my breath on anybody who's not planning on walking in this new commandment. All right? As long as the satanic seeds of offense, discord, and betrayal are within the hearts of the people, love, unity, and commitment cannot be kept nor practiced. Watch this. When the church comes into the power of covenant relationship, betrayal, unforgiveness, discarded offense will be overcome within the church. The author gives us two different instances of God delivering Abraham. One time, God had to actually deliver Abraham with his mercy. The next time, God delivered Abraham or stood with Abraham. The first time God delivered Abraham was when he went to Pharaoh and lied. That was the mercy God had to come and cover him. But the second time, when Abraham really kept covenant, when he really prayed the place of covenant, remember we talked about the covenant that Abraham cut with God when he actually circumcised himself, cutting away of the flesh. When he really prayed the place, as when to cut away his will. That's what cutting away of his flesh meant. Circumcision. That meant cutting away his will, and his desires, and his agenda. The next time that Abraham had to face King, God stood with him. When God stood with him, those guys recognized that God was with them and they wanted to cut covenant with him. Now we're going to have, I think, seven purposes for establishing covenant relationships. There's going to be seven. I'm going to go over the seven first. Because I may not get through all of them, but I at least want to mention them. Number one, the first purpose for establishing a covenant relationship is for a relationship of intimacy. Number two, for an increase of promised blessings. Number three, for the continuity of the message and revealed truth. Number four, for the salvation of the whole community. Number five, for the completion of the purpose assigned. Number six, for the remodeling of a new society. And number seven, for generational success. Let's go back to number one. The first major purpose of covenant is for a new level of relationship and intimacy. Meaning now, it's not so much about we're just connected, but now we're connected, and this relationship goes to another level because trust is there. All right? Trust has to be in a covenant relationship. If trust is not there, we can go no further. Trust has to be there. This is why last week we talked about being able to check out who you're connecting to. Don't you go haphazardly connect to anybody. Check with who you could check in on. What fruits are they producing? What are they talking about? Who else is they connected to them? What fruits do they have in their life? Because if you cannot connect to somebody you can trust, you're wasting your time. Are you seeing that? There must be an intimacy. There has to be an intimacy in our covenant. To create this level of intimacy, number one, you can't come with a self agenda. We can't come with our own plan. And once again, here goes the statement again. I had a lot of people say, I want to glean from Dr. Thomas' anointing. Okay, why? Why do you want to glean from his anointing? What's your purpose? Are you planning on using his anointing for the same purpose God gave it to him? That's a good question. Are you planning on doing the same thing that God has called him to do? Or do you want it because you want to fulfill your agenda? Because remember, we talked about it. The anointing has a specific purpose. If that purpose is not going to be fulfilled, there's no reason to be anointed. So if I want this particular anointing, I must first find out what is the agenda. And it can't be my own. We can't be manipulating to see how we can best benefit from the relationship. We do not come into a covenant relationship with contention, with four or five points of contention. In other words, we can't come into a relationship trying to find out what's wrong with the other person. We can't come into a relationship trying to figure out how can we change the other person. We come into covenant because we desire to take the existing relationship to the next level. In other words, you have what people call, we loosely use this word, friends. We very loosely use this word, but friends interpreted in the original Hebrew, when God used it with Abram, meant a whole lot more than how we mean it today. See, there are different levels of connection. You got some people that you may be acquainted with. You have some people that you might hold a conversation with, but you ain't let them hold your purse. You understand? You can have people them all day, but as long as you can see them. You got me? But in covenant, you want to take it to the next level. Can your pastor give you an assignment? Can your leader give you an assignment? Whatever you're committed to, if you're following, can they give you an assignment and turn their back and know you're going to do it as if they were there? Oh, Daddy, let me say, not if they were there watching, but as if they were doing it. Paul told them, and I think it was in Philemon, he said, I'm sending Timothy because I know he's going to do it just like I would do it. See, that would take the level of intimacy in covenant up to the next level. It's just not, now it's just not that he don't, my pastor, he or she doesn't have to watch over me with their vision. They can actually put their vision in my hand and know I'm not going to change it. They can put their vision in my hand and know I'm not trying to establish nothing of my own. That's taking a relationship to the next level. Watch this now. Watch this. I didn't realize. I forgot this in my notes when I talked about friendship and acquaintance. Watch this. We have already been at a certain level, a certain relationship level of acquaintanceship, friendship, and fellowship. Now we want to go higher into a deeper level of relationship. That's talking about intimacy. That's talking about where you can be trustworthy. You can be, the leader knows that they can break off pieces of authority and know you're not going to try to test the authority. Now it's about the agenda. Why God anointed the head? Why God called the head? God joined me to the head so that it's almost like now in the body of Christ, everybody's trying to develop their own revelation instead of sticking with what Jesus talked about. Are you seeing this? It's trying to develop their own thing instead of dealing with what Jesus talked about and how Jesus dealt with people. Going to another level of relationship. Watch this. Those who have not walked in intimacy with God in a covenant relationship would not desire covenant with man. If you find a person that doesn't have, that does not have a burning desire for more of God, then you can best believe he's not going to have a desire for more of you. Are you seeing this? Those who understand the power of covenant realize that the opportunity to enter this level of relationship is worth grabbing. Covenant brings two people into a level of intimacy and closeness that allows them to cooperate with each other for strength. What is that? It allows two people to come together to cooperate with each other and develop intimacy and closeness for strength. They become not just mutually beneficial to each other, but as the intimacy increases, it provides a greater place of safety and protection. Watch this. This is very key. Those in covenant are passionately concerned with each other's welfare and well-being. In other words, we sit out talking to this gentleman one time. He was saying, how you and your wife have such a great relationship. I said, because number one, we trip over ourselves to please the other one. Are you seeing it? My first focus when I wake up in the morning is, what can I do to benefit my family in a better way? When she gets to the morning, her first goal is to see, you can see her answer, is what can I do to have my family in a better position? Are you seeing this? So watch this, it works out now, because remember now, all of this is the covenant. If you cannot grasp this scripture, you will not be successful in covenant. I've repeated it over and over. Galatians 6 and 7. God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's a principle. That's a principle that's been around since God said, let there be light. And it ain't going nowhere. How I know it ain't going nowhere? Because he said it wasn't going nowhere. He said, as long as the earth remains, seed, time, and harvest. No matter what you apply to, whether you apply to money, whether you apply to your attitude, whether you apply to your time, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. So here it is in covenant. If you don't believe in that scripture, you're going to be in trouble. Because that's when you can have selflessness about yourself and you want to prefer the other person before you. When you do that, God is going to put you in a position that somebody will prefer you over themselves. Is that making sense? See, the world system goes the other way. The world system says, get what you can for yourself. That is how we believe in the kingdom. We believe in the kingdom that we look. God didn't come and demand life from us. He didn't come and demand our lives from us. He first gave. It was only when God was Son. That's why God, during this time and in the future, the present, and the future, is going to reap a whole bunch of lives. Because he gave the life of his only begotten Son. Are you seeing this? The people in covenant began to create avenues to help provide whatever is needed for their partner's progress and success. Whenever there is maturity of covenant, there is an unusual level of relationship that is deep and meaningful. The power of such a level of relationship provides strength to stay together and finish to the end. Now listen to this. Only a covenant relationship gives us the strength of intimacy so that we can stay connected and committed to a death do of heart. There's only two reasons in the Bible God has ever let somebody out of a covenant. There's only two reasons. One of them is death. The next one is that person who I'm connected to is no longer following God, then now I have a right to disconnect. Because I'm not going to let them pull me away from who has sustained. Number two, the second purpose of covenant. See, I want you to see something. God is all inclusive. When he asks you to come in covenant, he's asking us to not have our own agenda. When he asks us, Jesus gave that new command to love one another. Matthew 22, he gave one of the greatest commandments. The Pharisees asked him, a lawyer came and asked him, what was the greatest commandment there is in Matthew 22? I think it's around verse 27, I think it is. He said, the first one is to love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. Watch this now. And the second one is like unto the first. They want to try the same way. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Are you seeing this? Quick side journey. This is why the message, the gospel of grace, is so important. Because the gospel of grace allows you to realize that you are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, regardless of what you do. So now, I can think highly of myself because it's Jesus that has redeemed me and not me. So now, watch this. When I begin to operate in grace like I'm supposed to, and I realize that I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus, and that there's no sin that can take me out the hand of God. I'm going to say that again. There is no sin that can take me out the hand of God. There is no sin that calls me to be unrighteous once I'm righteous. Once I begin to understand that now I can stand in the presence of God at all times, guilt-free, no condemnation. So now I'm going to start thinking pretty high of myself because it's Jesus Christ who is living on the inside of me that's causing me to be powerful like this, right? Now God said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. So that means that I need to have the same want for my neighbor that I have for myself. Are you seeing this? So meaning that the second purpose of covenant is for an increase of promised blessing. That means everybody gets blessed. Now, quick side John. Think of Psalm 37 and 4, where it says, delight yourself in the Lord. It's 37 and 4, I think it says 37 and 4, huh? And he would get 34 and 7 or 37 and 4? 37 and 4, okay, we would get the numbers introverted. He said, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Right? Here's the problem that we have in the body of Christ. We allow Satan to bring into our camps and into our relationships and into our covenant relationship the spirit of competition. So what happens? Watch this. Now, tell me this is not true. Break this down. Do some psychoanalysis of our behavior. We see somebody get blessed. God increases them. Whatever it is, whether a new house, car, or whatever it is, and we see how people act over. They get excited about it, and they really say, "Man, that's nice. That's nice. Man, you dress nice. Oh, you look some nice shoes." And what we do is we see that, and it's not really the item that we want. It's the attention we want. Are you seeing this? And what happens, it causes us to begin to believe God or desire things that we don't even really like. Because we think that it's going to bring us more attention. Instead of you being you and letting God give you what you desire. Are you seeing this? So it might not be even though in the world system, a wealth status might be an 18,000 square foot house. You might not want that. I can get a lot of amens on that. You might not want it. You might not want this particular car or live in this particular neighborhood, or you might want to live over here. And it might be a place that where you're comfortable at. You might want to drive this particular car because it makes you comfortable. This is what you like. When you wake up in the morning, you got a smile on your face. There's a lot of people that are driving things and living in things that the world system says gives them a wealth symbol, but they're not waking up with a smile on their face because it ain't what they really want. Because let me tell you, when you're talking about an 18,000 to 20,000 square foot house, now you're talking about an electric bill. You talking about I'm talking about a commercial electric bill. Like you run a company. Then you have the maintenance, upkeep on this house. See what I'm saying? So when you begin to ask God for these things, you gotta make sure you ask God for all of them. Then you start realizing I might not want all that. Which does not negate whether you're wealthy or not. Are you seeing this? So as we come into covenant with each other, we have to realize that we all have different desires. So when God increases one, he may increase another way. Here's the Psalm 37 and 4. Delight yourself in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. Some people, a couple of gentlemen I know, Got more money than what to do with. He got a Ford 350 truck. It's nice. He don't own a Mercedes. He got to get a Mercedes, but he don't own it. That ain't what he wants. Is this making sense? Because what happens is when we come in a covenant and we begin to see people increase, Do we really want what they have because that's what we desire, or do we want the attention? Is this making sense? Because when you get to come with everybody's going to get blessed. Everybody can get blessed. It's just important that you get blessed with what you want to be blessed with. I don't want Roger's blessing. I might not like them staying with stuff Roger's life. You know what I'm saying? I feel when I see Roger with something to see people, man, Roger has money. But I feel like, man, I need to give one of them to me. You know, I'm not getting it now in your life. I don't take care of it. Are you saying this? Go to Genesis, the 15th chapter. I got a few more minutes, and I'm just on number 2, so y'all know the exam is going to be heavily weighted on chapter 10. Genesis the 15th chapter. I want you to see something. I want you to see what God told Abraham. Here's the 15th chapter. And the first verse. It says, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now watch what Abram did. Abram said, Lord, what would thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine own. Why? Abraham was setting a precedent now. Abram was saying, Lord, you've given me all of this, but I want somebody to pass this on to. Somebody that connects to me, that can come into covenant with me, that I can pass this on to. Because watch this. The favor or the blessings of God is forever. That's Bible. It says the favor of God is forever. It doesn't run out. It is forever. So Abram understood covenant. He understood that. Once God gives something, he has the right to bring other people into it. Are you seeing this? It actually is Psalms 30 and 5. Favor lasts for a lifetime. Make note of that. Favor lasts for a lifetime. It's Psalms 30, verse 5. Favor lasts for a lifetime. It's forever. Abraham wanted to continue, his recipients to continue in the unlimited supply of favor. He wanted his reward to continue to flow even after his death. So for this, he needs to have descendants for generations after him. Here's what Jesus is so important. Because Jesus died on the cross, we can become seed of Abraham. So the blessing that God put on Abraham can rest on us. Are you seeing it? God's favor, presence, protection, and provision are all released upon us as we walk in covenant with Him. Covenant not only brings an intimacy of relationship, it also brings us into another level of relationship of favor. Because of this place of favor, the promises increase. I love this one. Those who walk in covenant desire to outdo one another in promises, as they're no longer living for their own self-interest, but for the other party's well-being and interest. We shower our partners with goodness and find ways to be a source of blessing to those whom we love and care for. Now watch, you're about to see the difference in relationship and in level of relationship and intimacy. Watch this. Abraham gave all he had to his only begotten son. A covenant. But he gave only gifts to the sons of his concubine. That word begotten is very important. Because everything, God gave everything to his only begotten son. And his only begotten son turned around, paid the price for us, cleansed our debt, then turned around and gave everything to us. And he said, God with all power in his hand. That's what covenant does. Covenant causes everybody to be increased in blessing. Third purpose of covenant is for the continuity of the message and revealed truth. And this is the most selfless purpose of covenant. This is very important. This third one is by far my favorite out of all the seven. The message of the promised seed was never lost. In other words, the promised seed was Jesus. And so from Abraham to the time that Jesus was born, the message was protected and delivered properly. Are you seeing this? There was no wavering in the message. So much that when Jesus got here, they placed purpose on the message and forgot he was here. Those Jews did not realize that what they had been talking about for so long had arrived. They were focused on the message. Are you seeing this? In other words, what I'm saying, whoever you connected to, this is one thing that we're trying to get over to LTMA. Because watch this. An apostle, let's go with an apostle. We've defined it before. An apostle has defined it. Probably instructor David, instructor Thompson, Reverend Donald Montrell, Reverend Walker, Reverend Harvey. We've all defined apostleship. We've heard it over and over. An apostle structures doctrine. It's only concerned by heaven to earth government and structures doctrine.
So watch this. If an apostle is concerned about heaven to earth structure, watch this, and structure and doctrine, then what sense does it make for the other four out of five fold to go do something else? See, the way it was structured, Paul structured doctrine, and when he placed Timothy over here, Timothy was gleaning and receiving from Paul and going back to who he was covering and dispersing that information and dispersing that impartation and dispersing that anointing. Today, the reason why the church is not growing is because we got too many independent organizations. With no continuity of the message. See, we're making a strong effort now. Apostle Thompson is real talking about the gospel of grace. Where every LTNA church that's connected to Apostle Thompson should be teaching grace. If you don't know enough about it, then what to do? You get whoever you're connected to information and begin to listen. In the 80s, when Apostle Thompson began to make the transition from one denomination to being non-denominational, Brother Hagin, I would literally see him take Brother Hagin's book to the pulpit. Sometimes read it word for word. Because he was not only getting it himself, but he wanted to get it into the people because of who he was connected to. See, the thing about it is, this is, once again, watch this. This is where the ego and pride have been put in check. Ego and pride have been put in check because I got a word from the Lord. The Lord is talking to me. I have no doubt he's talking to you. I have no doubt he's talking to you. I'm not questioning it. But why did he connect you to somebody and then tell you look different than what he's telling me on? Think about that now. Why would God connect you to somebody when he's taking the same direction and then tell you go this direction? That's defeat. Even Jesus himself said, how is the God against himself? Can I say? The message of the promised seed was never lost. It allowed them to become the recipients of the message of the overcoming seed and become encouraged to secure their promises for their own generation. The message and assignment given to a leader must also become the message and assignment of those connected to him or her. Watch this. The team that followed Paul knew that the depth of commitment was not just to the man, but also to the move of God through the man. That's powerful. I'm going to say it again. The team that followed Paul knew that the depth of covenant was not just to the man, this is the internet, but also to the move of God through that man. Is important. This is why trust has to be established. Because sometimes God is going to take your leader someplace you have never been before. And you're going to have to lean back and stand on your past experiences with this person. Are you feeling this? Because sometimes they're going to take you places that you hadn't been before. Talk about some doctrines in the Bible that's being dug out. Like, man, listen. I come out of the Baptist background. You sin, don't come to church on Sunday morning until I take communion. Because we read in 1 Corinthians, but if you can't take this unworthily. We learn that ain't what the Apostle Paul was saying. Are you saying this? Matter of fact, it's when you sin as a Christian that you need to run to the communion table. Because what communion does? What Jesus says when he takes communion? Do this in a remembrance of what he did, remembrance of what he, the price he paid, so that conviction can come and repentance can take place. Are you seeing me? So, it's nothing. This message, this continuity, this us not having our own agenda. Are you seeing this? How important it is. Because watch this. The next generation is dependent on our accuracy of the message. Watch this. Timothy was intimidated when Paul started talking about this message of grace and Paul started coming under attack. He became intimidated by the opposition, and he withdrew himself for a while. But Paul, in the midst of the gospel of the kingdom. That's why Paul had to go and tell him, stir up the gift that is within you by the putting on of laying hold of my hand. He had to remind him, this is only going to last for a season. We got to stick with the truth. Watch this. God is raising a new company of pastors and leaders across the earth who are accurately connected in covenant and aligning their doctrine through wholesome accountability and spiritual covering. Somebody who does not have a spiritual covering, I'm very leery of them. Because number one, you don't have a spiritual covering. What you're saying is, God started with me. All of y'all don't know what y'all doing. God started with me. That's what they're saying. Somebody who does not, let me friendly phrase what I'm saying. Somebody who has not been under, or is currently under spiritual authority, covering. Sometimes our spiritual leaders may go on to be home with the, to be home with the Lord. That's fine. I understand that. Though by that time, that person should be covering somebody else. Are you seeing this? I'm very leery of people who say they don't have a spiritual covering. Or they're not connected to somebody. They on their own. Jesus trained the 12. Why did he train the 12? Because he wanted them to have the accurate message of who he was. It was so important to him that Jesus seen the 12 wasn't really doing what they were supposed to do. Then he posted. Really wasn't doing what they were supposed to be doing. He went into the darkness and plucked somebody out. His name was Saul. Changed it to Paul. You got to realize now, Paul almost overnight went from killing Christians. He was persecuting Christians to having an experience with Jesus Christ, and now he's winning. Watch this. Covenant relationship gives us the platform for protection against error in doctrine and morality. It keeps us close to one another so that there is purity and holiness in each of our lives. The truth. Those who separate themselves from an accountability relationship will often choose their own ways and follow their own desires. I've seen this happen. And then they become of their own revelation. Now you got people who are trying to justify sin, making excuses for ministers messing up in the pulpit. There ain't no excuse for it. You just messed up, let the minister grace, and get it back right. Ain't no justification for that. Ain't no justification for sexual sin in the pulpit. No justification. It's just sin. We're not gonna let somebody come in and start preaching and then take a scripture out of context for the call of God of our repentance. Wait a minute, I got a question now. Because if you look at the context of what Paul was saying, Paul was actually talking about the Jews being the first call to God. Thank you. Being the first call to God. They didn't hear it, so God called the Gentiles. Then he brought to the Gentiles. Don't y'all get too upset about that, because God still got his eyes on the Jews. Because the call of God is without repentance. That has nothing to do with fivefold ministry gift. Are you seeing this? So being in covenant, having a continuity of the message, fighting for defending the faith, as Paul said. Defending the faith, the accountability is important. Because it calls us to have right doctrine, and it calls us to have right morality. If there is no spiritual covenant, if there is no continuity of the message, if there is no covenant, there is no one to bring such a balance to your thoughts, desires, or doctrine. When people separate from one another, they have been separated from the assembly of believers. This is why Jesus said the new commandment, that you love one another. Not that you criticize one another, but that you love one another. We had a brother in LTMA that came up and started coming up with a doctrine. We didn't criticize him. We pulled him to the side and said, man, prove this stuff biblical. Prove this to us. And when it came to find out, it was scriptures being taken out of context, trying to prove what he thought was a revelation. He immediately changed. Do we criticize him? No, it ain't about criticizing, because I truly believe he had a heart that was going after God. It's just that when you don't have a continuity of the message, that's when error and doctrine come in. This is good. Covenant brothers and sisters are for our protection. They are there to put the boundaries on our thoughts to prevent it from going astray into deception and exaggeration. You need to thank God for wholesome covenant relationships. We need to keep the purity of the message and the legacy of God's spiritual dimension that has been invested in us. See, Paul began to talk about this, why this message on grace, this gospel on grace, is so important, because the kingdom message has been diluted. So now it takes an apostle from around the country, men and women of God, to get this back in line. Because to be honest, we've been preaching, thank you, we've been preaching a lot from the pulpit. We were preaching loud from the pulpit, and the Bible says the strength of sin is the law. So here it is. We as Christians are taking on the responsibility of people living right when it never was our responsibility. So what we were doing from the pulpit, we begin to preach about what not to do. Don't do this. Don't do this. You can't do this. You can't do this. Because we think it's our responsibility to cause them to live right. When it never was our responsibility anyway. Are you seeing this? So the covenant now is causing all that to come back into line. Paul said, there's somebody preach another God. Curse them if they preach another God. Look like chapter 10 is going to be heavily weighted in chapter 10. Watch this. Finally, we become one voice to our generation as we collectively synergize in covenant relationships across the earth. We become one voice. We become one voice. Somebody in LTMA, churches, it don't matter where you go in LTMA, it's coming a day, and it's going to happen, it's just happening now, where any church you walk into an LTMA, you're going to hear about grace. You're going to hear about grace. You're going to hear about grace till it's coming out your ears. You're going to hear about grace till you really believe that you are the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. You're going to get to the point in the ultimate church where you believe that grace is so strong and grace is so much stronger than sin that even when you mess up, you're going to get up and say, I'm the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. But the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See y'all week after next, remember? Next week exams on chapter 9 and 10. mostly 10, because I ain't get through too much of 10. And then the following week, we'll be back in class, all right? Y'all have a good night.